Hey friend, it's Karen Parker with the Pursuit of Living Well podcast. I'm a mom of three beautiful souls, a lifelong entrepreneur, and intuitive coach. At 52, I realized that I have known all along that everything I needed to become the best version of myself was already inside. I'm bringing all the secrets to you by sharing what I've learned in my experiences over the years. Also, in this podcast, you'll hear tips and wisdom from some of the bravest people I know. You'll hear their stories of how they took their own leap of faith and learned to live their life in complete joy and freedom. Take my hand as you listen and learn how to rise above all your disappointments, all your struggles, and begin to experience your own joy in the journey. Let's go! So I am super excited today. I want to welcome everybody to season two of the Pursuit of Living Well podcast. And I'm freaking excited about who I have today on here because she is one of my favorite people. And I just want to introduce you to her real quick and then I'll give you her name. But she is a physical therapist and exercise specialist with a brand spanking new facility right here in Moorhead City. She focuses on helping individuals develop confidence and a lifelong, yes, you heard that right, lifelong passion for movement. Her name is Pauline Shiver. Welcome, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. I am so excited to be here on your podcast. You're just such an amazing person, and I am so blessed to have you in my life.
Oh, you're sweet. I want to go back because everybody needs to know how we met, right?
I know.
So, and why movement is so important to me. First of all, if you follow me and you've gone to my website, you'll see and you'll hear about me talking about my M&Ms for life or for moving the needle forward. Hopefully it becomes for maintaining life. And one of them, I'm not going to get into all of them because that will be like a series that I'm doing here with this season too. But the number one thing is movement. And when I met Pauline, it was after a knee replacement at the ripe old age of 48. So I wasn't even 50 yet. And who knew that that would be happening so soon? And bottom line, it was because I had gotten away from movement. And so it is now become a non-negotiable. And she helped me through probably the worst physical, painful 13 weeks of my life as a physical therapist. And that's how we met. And then lo and behold, gosh, that was in 2015.
Has it been that long? I guess it has.
Yeah, 7 years. It was the best decision I ever made. It wasn't the easiest, that's for sure. That is for sure. So tell us a little bit about yourself in your own words.
In my own words, well, I would say that I am an old soul in, I want to think, a young body, but it's getting older every day. But I just have this like drive and this passion that God has put on my heart to serve others. And it wasn't a direct route to get into physical therapy. I honestly wanted to be a doctor. I wanted to go into medical school and I was on that path. And then something changed my mind and I became a physical therapist and I've never looked back. I've been doing it 16 years now and I got my doctorate last year. So I have my doctorate in physical therapy. I'm an orthopedic certified specialist and it's just this passion I have to help people look at their bodies in a different way. I'm so tired of hearing like, oh, I'm too old to do this, or I'm too something. Like there's always this word we fill in with I'm too or I'm not enough. I don't want to hear that anymore because you're never too old to lift. You're never too old to move. You're never too broken to move. And that's the other thing I try to shift people away from is pain doesn't necessarily mean you're broken. It can be fixed. It may not be able to be fixed 100%, but we can do other things and we can teach ourselves how to move in other ways that aren't painful so that we can live these lives that we want to live. And so I think that, you know, I think my passion does come through when I talk about it, but I mean, that's me. I'm just out there just trying to teach people that movement is medicine and it's the best medicine that we have. And it's really the ultimate medicine that we have.
You said one thing and you said, I'm too old for this or I'm too old for that. And I really want to change people's mindset around aging. And there's a lot of, I honestly think that the words anti-aging can be toxic, right? Because we want to stay young. There's nothing wrong with aging. There's a problem with old, in my opinion, because it's our mentality around it. So we think of aging and we gain wisdom, and that usually is the only thing, when you really think about it, that is positive around the thought of aging. And so I'm glad you brought that up. So let's just dive right in and let's talk about that. Let's talk about the pro-aging benefits of movement.
So as we age, people always want to focus on, you know, the negative side of aging. Oh, I lose muscle mass. Oh, I'm going to gain body fat. Oh, I'm not as fast or stronger, et cetera, et cetera. There's all these things. But the benefit of aging when it comes to movement and exercise is you have learned movement patterns that are kind of ingrained in your body. So things that once might have been difficult for you are much more automatic. You have a lot more muscle has developed, muscle patterns. You've been able to recruit a lot more of your neurons going into those muscles so that things are a little bit actually easier for you to pick up because you've now had years and years and years to develop some of those basic movement patterns. So now you can dive into some of the more complicated ones or the more challenging ones and do it safely because you've got, you know, years behind you of doing something correctly. The one thing I do want to caution people on, though, is like you jump into these things, you have to make sure that you have a good foundation and that you're moving well. I get so tired of hearing, and I hear this a lot in the physical therapy profession because I've been doing it for so long, oh, squats are bad for your knees, lunges are bad for your knees. There is no exercise that is bad for you. It is if you're doing the movement or exercise incorrectly that makes it bad for you. So squatting, you can squat until the day you die. You can lunge, you can do anything, you can jump. I have 80-year-olds deadlifting because they need to know how to lift properly to not hurt themselves. And I think it's just amazing that they have this mentality of, you know what, age is just a number, I'm gonna be here, I'm gonna do it. And I think that's really important for us to remember is that with age comes wisdom, but with age also comes competency and movement so that we can challenge ourselves a little bit more.
I heard something on a podcast, actually, I think it was Monday, about of course, resistance training, but also weight bearing, not necessarily like the deadlifts and all that, but the pressure on the bones is what actually helps stabilize your joints and stabilize your bones and helps with bone growth and fights against the brittleness of bones that can happen with a lack of exercise, movement, weight bearing, all of the things. Can you talk about that or delve into that a little bit?
Absolutely. It is 100% correct. So one of the things that happens as we age, particularly if we have a more sedentary lifestyle, is we develop osteopenia or osteoporosis. And that's basically where your bones kind of get softer, for lack of a better way to put it. So you're more prone to fractures and things like that. But weight bearing, and that could be walking, running, weight lifting, but anything that you're working against gravity, actually applies a stress to the bone. And just like anything else, if you apply stress to it in the right way and in the appropriate intensity, you're actually gonna cause your body to strengthen that area. So like you were talking about with the joints and the bones are gonna get stronger because you're now adding some stress to them. And so the only way they can improve and work on getting better is to grow more bone. And then the cartilage in the joints actually does the same thing. So if you're applying, and it has to be in that kind of graded way, you can't jump in because that's where people get you know, a little overzealous and we want to jump into something and we get injured. But if you do it correctly, your body will slowly adapt to those increased demands by increasing bone, adding down more collagen, strengthening it. I mean, there's been studies, it used to be thought that running was this really bad thing for your joints and we shouldn't do it. But there's been a ton of studies over the years that show that runners that have been doing it for years and years, they actually have shown that they have stronger joints, better cartilage, and less likelihood of osteoarthritis in their later years, as long as they were never injured. But so it shows that our body will adapt beautifully to the stresses we put on it, as long as we do them in a systematic, strategic way that's safe for each individual.
Yeah. One example is Tom Brady, right?
Yeah.
At his age and all of the things that he's doing, he's making sure that he is doing the movement. He gets help.
Yes.
Even as the expert that he is and the professional that he gets help. So let's talk about it because that's exactly what you do is you teach people the right way. You're an exercise specialist that has, you know, your doctorate in physical therapy and movement and all of these things. Mobility to the body is crucial, but knowing how is where it's all at. So explain a bit about what you do in regards to that.
So my goal, whether you're injured or not, I personally like to get people before they've ever had an injury or any type of pain, because our bodies are remarkable and your body will do what you ask it to do no matter what. Mm-hmm. And it will find the path of least resistance though. So let's say you're working on squatting. Your body's going to squat however it can squat. That doesn't necessarily mean it's optimal for how you should be doing it. So I would come in, look at your squat, and correct any of the techniques that might be a little bit off. So I'm going to look at and make sure that you're doing it correctly. And this may be before you ever have any pain. The pain comes in when over years and time, you've been doing something incorrectly, and you start to load the joints in the body a little off, and for a while it's fine, and you can handle it, and you keep adding on, and then one day it's just too much. So that's where I come in. I come in and I'm looking at how you move. I want to make sure you have the appropriate range of motion in each of the joints. And if that's not the case, then we're going to focus on that first. I want to get the mobility there first. Then we're going to look at kind of stability. Can you hold those ranges of motion without losing form? So then we work on that. Then we can start, once you have that good foundation of good mobility, good stability, then you can start working on that strength and developing your strength and your power. But it has to be very systematic, because if we skip these steps and we're not moving really well, for instance, if you, after your knee replacement, had not gotten full range back and then you started trying to do squats and lunges and all these things, for a while you would have been fine, but eventually you would have started putting stress on that knee that would have caused pain in other places. So you have to make sure that you've got that mobility and then that stability to handle an increased load. And then over time, you can just steadily increase and start really working on more challenging movement patterns. But it's one of those things you want to kind of go basic to harder. And one of the things that people don't understand is that if you do it right, it's actually really boring. You have to focus on the basics all the time. And when I say that, I mean, like, you're going to squat every day of your life for years and years and years, and you're still going to do things wrong sometimes. Right. I've been exercising since I was 14 or younger, and I still will have people look at how I squat, how I deadlift, how I do some type of movement for corrections, because there are times when I do it wrong still. And that's just how our bodies are. Little things can throw us off just enough that if we're not correcting it on a regular basis, over time it can lead to dysfunction and pain.
You talk about my knee replacement, and I remember, I mean, it was so painful that it's almost like when you have kids, you go into labor and it's like, I'm never doing this again. And then as soon as that baby's born, you're like, let's go again. And, but with the knee, it's like, you know, I'm going to do everything I can to keep from the other one having to be done. And the other one's not near as bad as this one. As the one that got replaced was, but it's doing like amazing. And people look at me all the time. They're like, there's no way that you had a knee replacement and you're able to squat like you squat. Like, I mean, I can do a full, you know, people have to squat down on their knees to, and they're like looking at something. And how did you get that to bend? Like, just think, Pauline. Just think, Pauline.
I don't know. You put in all that hard work when it hurt.
Right. But it's that, you know, movement is the fluid, you know, brings about the fluid that brings about the mobility, right?
It
And
is.
so, you talked about running and fluidity, and I'm gonna be honest, I hate running. And it's like I heard today, and I hear it all the time, it's like, what is the best exercise? The best exercise is the one that you're going to do, you know, and you're
Exactly.
going to
Amen
love,
to that. Amen
right?
to that. Yes.
And I get that there's a runner's high because I get that high when I'm lifting, right? So I remember people coming to you about their running gait, their
Yes.
gait in running and things like that. And you've always been a runner, and like that's your Instagram handle, PT runner or something like that. Talk about running.
Oh my
What do you love about running?
So, unfortunately, I have not been able to run for the last 2 years. I have developed a very weird condition where I have foot drop on one side and no one can figure it out. So, my love of running hasn't diminished, but I haven't been able to enjoy it. But I still love to coach people into doing it. And what I loved about running the most is the freedom it gave me. Yeah, it gave me that high, but it was also this outlet where I could just let myself go and not worry about life. And it was my time with God. So it was just kind of where I would talk to him. I'd go on a long run and I would just be talking to God, enjoying nature, the beauty of everything, and just thanking him for being able to move my body. And that love is still there. And I love to talk about it and I love to help people with it because one of the things that we have fallen into, and I don't know where this came from, but everybody says, oh, well, you just naturally know how to run. I mean, you're just born with it, right? Well, that's not necessarily true because if that were true, then we would all know how to swim correctly. We would all know how to row correctly. We would all know how to play basketball and jump and do all these things correctly. But we spend years and years and years teaching children how to play a sport, but we don't teach them how to run. And that to me is just crazy. And that's where I really got this passion for running because people get real injured running because they didn't know they were running incorrectly, because there is a correct way to run. And I say that loosely because there's variables involved in that, and everyone is unique, but there are certain things and techniques you want to look at to make sure that you're doing it correctly. And I love to do a slow motion video analysis and just kind of break it down, and it's so much fun for me.
There is, I want to go back just a little bit to your last probably, well, since I've known you, you've gone through a lot. You're kind of
I
like me, the pivot queen of sorts. And one of the things that you said, you know, when talking about your story is you say, despite numerous setbacks, disappointments, struggles, and fear, you found that allowing yourself to feel whatever it is that you're feeling rather than running from it and then moving past it after learning from the experience has allowed you to find joy in the journey. It's interesting that you have a love for running and that was your go-to for running from the emotion of
Yes.
all of the disappointments. Can you don't have to give details, but can you just talk a little bit about that and what was it that made you stop in your tracks, so to speak?
That's a really, really good question. So I have been through, like you said, I've had quite a few things in my life that have just been very difficult to manage. And when I was younger, running was my outlet. I absolutely, I didn't, re looking back, with this age comes wisdom. And looking back, I did. I ran from a lot of my problems. I would stick my head in the sand, so to speak, and just go for a run and ignore it. Or I'd run away from it. And which is kind of how I ended up in North Carolina, essentially. I was running away from a problem, and I'm glad I'm here. It made me who I am. But looking back, when I lost the ability to run, when that was kind of suddenly taken for me, because this was not something that crept up, it was almost night and day. I just all of a sudden I couldn't move my foot correctly. And I have trouble walking. So even that's a challenge. So it was taken from me and I didn't have anything else to do. I didn't know how to manage my emotions. I used to be very stoic and it was like, I cannot be sad. I cannot be this. I have to keep moving, keep moving, keep moving. No one can see it. No one can help me. I had to be everything to everyone and myself because they all needed to see me as the strong person. And when that was taken away from me, it broke me down. It was the thing that I had relied on from the time I was 14 till I'm 41 now. So when I was 39, losing the ability to run, it was all I had relied on for everything. And I had to find a new way. And I remember being so angry at God because not only was I going through that, I was going through a divorce, and then I was going through a miscarriage. So I had hit quite a few very challenging things and didn't know how to handle it. I couldn't go to my go-to. But that's when it kind of hit rock bottom, and I realized God was asking me to stop relying on me and rely on Him. So I had to turn my eyes to Him, and my new mantra, so to speak, over the past few years has been, your will, not mine. I can't control. You have your plan for me. You had it from the day I was conceived. And I need to have faith in that. And I need to believe in that. And when we were in our group yesterday, my word is believe for the year. Because it's not just believe in God. It's believe in me. It's believe in the people around me. It's believe in the life that I'm trying to create. I think that's what God's putting on me with this, these things and these challenges and these setbacks. He just wants me to believe in Him and that He's got me covered.
What if there was a way to access the subconscious and shut off that racing mind? What if that sleep that you were getting at night actually allowed you to recover and wake up more alive and alert the next day? The Soundbar is a meditation room that uses frequency-minded music to help you relax and reset. It uses different frequencies to target nerve receptors in the body and may help with anxiety, stress, depression, lack of sleep, chronic pain, and more. The Soundbar is located right here in Moorhead City at 4426 Arundel Street, Suite A in Pelletier Harbor Shops. In all of that, did you find that you sat with those emotions and things like that. Did you find that lack of movement made things a lot worse from a mental standpoint?
Absolutely.
I have come up against some things with, in my story, the lack of movement, the lack of the right people in my circle, the lack of being able to contribute or volunteer, that type of thing, really, really played on my mental state for the majority of my adult life. And it was because I was physically unable to do a lot of those things. And so I was alone in my thoughts for years, right? And they say that, there's studies have shown it, that when emotions are not dealt with, buried emotions, it causes a slow death. You know, feelings, there's a book called Feelings Buried Alive Never Die.
Oh my gosh, yes.
And it brings about pain in the body. And so whenever I'm having like an ache or pain or something, I'm like, I got to sit with it and be like, okay, what am I dealing with emotionally that I need to release or I need to address, right? And sometimes we don't know. So there's all these different tools. Movement is one of them. So we're dealing with some things, and I'm seeing it across the board. I've talked to other moms where counselors and therapists want to put our teenagers on SSRIs. And I'm like, the brain is not even fully developed. What are you doing? And they're not asking, what's your activity level? They're not asking You know, what is your diet like? What is your movement like? Who are you hanging around? All of the things. Not that who they're hanging around is necessarily bad, but are they inspiring, and are just people bringing life, right? Because they say that the five people that you hang around with most is who you become. Can you talk about the connection between movement and what happens in the brain?
Yes. So movement is so powerful. I mean, you talked about the runner's high before. That's just a release of endorphins. Mm-hmm. So when we're moving, our bodies are doing what they were meant to do. God created us to move. And that is why we get this release of endorphins and all these chemicals, these cascades just start in our body. And they're meant to help us be the people that we are, that helps reduce stress. It helps our body just cope with the day-to-day stresses that we have at work and at home. It helps us, it calms our mind because we can get out some of this excess energy. And I agree with you. I think so many people are put on medication too soon and they're not asking those questions. What are you doing for movement? Who are you surrounding yourself with? Who do you talk to? I know for the longest time, I didn't talk to anybody because I was just, I don't know if ashamed is the right word, but it was very private and I didn't know who to talk to and what people were safe that I could share my story with. And so for me, it was a default to movement. And then when that got taken away from me, I had to find other outlets. And luckily I can still strength train and I've fallen in love with the Peloton bike. So I do cycling all the time and yoga and things like that. But it causes these shifts in your body and your body chemistry, and it helps. You know, there's studies that show that it helps combat depression, anxiety, with kids that have ADHD or ADD. It can help calm down some of that because they're getting rid of this energy that they have. It can help them focus. Mm-hmm. There's been studies that show that activity in children can help them focus for longer periods of time because they have gotten out this energy, these chemicals have happened, and now they can sit and they can focus on their studies and they do better in school when they're active. So I think that is something that should be prescribed much more frequently than medications necessarily are, because that is something that we could potentially get away from. I know I can speak to my nephews. They spend so much time playing video games and they don't go outside. And then they end up with these health issues and anxiety and depression and all these things. And I think if I could just get them, you know, involved in an activity or a sport, it would be so wonderful for their bodies and their little minds, because you're right, they're still developing. And that exercise is going to help develop the brain, not just the body. And it's going to help them as they age and until their brain is fully developed to achieve where it needs to be.
What do you think would be like the number one thing that we need to do as a society to get this information out to the mainstream? Because really, if we think about it, the only people that look at exercise or look at activity are people that usually are wanting to like lose weight or get fit or whatever. They don't think about the mental health, and they don't think about literally what we were created to do that we've stopped doing, you know, our ancestors. And for thousands of years, they moved as a society to live, to create, to eat, to everything, to live, period, right?
Survive, yeah.
To survive. And we've stopped that unless, and here it is at the first of the year, right? Unless they're wanting to lose weight. Like, let's get that out of our brain and get back to the mental health aspect of it. What do you think needs to happen? Or what can we do as individuals to make that more mainstream and to maybe talk about it more?
I think one of the biggest things that we need to combat is that idea of exercise is only used for weight loss or to look better. Mm-hmm. That's a byproduct of it, of course, and there's nothing wrong with wanting to lose weight and look your best. But I think one of the biggest things we need to shift, and that the mind shift that we need to have, is that exercise and movement is used for well-being, not looking good. It should be our well-being. So I think we need to focus on that. I think we need to move a little bit, and this is going to sound a little controversial, but move a little bit away from the body positivity movement. There's nothing wrong with loving your body. I want everyone to love their body. We come in all different shapes and sizes, and everyone should love it, but you should still be focused on being your best. And I think that this body positivity movement in one way has shifted us to, well, it's okay. I don't need to exercise. I don't need to eat right. I love myself the way I am. I want you to love this, yourself the way that, you are, but I also want you to work on making yourself the best that you can and not using exercise as just this evil thing, because sometimes we use it as punishment too. Like, get away from the punishment. You don't have to earn what you eat. Eat whatever the heck you want.
Right.
You're not earning it by going out and doing an hour of cardio.
Right.
You're doing an hour of cardio because you love the way it makes you feel and that it's what you enjoy doing. If you hate cardio, find something else. Go lift weights.
And if you don't eat, you don't have energy anyway to do it, right?
And I love my food and I'm going to eat. I told somebody the other day, I was like, this girl's ain't, it's not missing a meal.
Right.
I'm not going to go punish myself afterward because I ate chocolate. That's my favorite thing. No. So I think we need to kind of shift from those mentalities of it's punishment and it's only used for dieting. I think we need to start to enjoy the way it feels when we move and when we're active. And I think if we can start opening that dialogue up and being much more honest with each other about ourselves, and I think just having that conversation too about our self-esteem and how it's tied to that, because so many of us, women in particular, we just have this need to be perfect all the time, but we're not. And it's okay to not be.
Right.
And it's okay to not exercise. I mean, there are weeks that I go where I haven't lifted a weight, and it's okay because my body needs that. So I think we need to have some of that grace and give it to ourselves. But the big conversation just needs to be how important movement is and that it's used to make us live better lives.
I appreciate you so much. I appreciate your knowledge, your wisdom. I want to do some rapid fire questions, and then I want to tell everybody where they can find you, where you're at now, what you're doing, how you're taking appointments, all of the things. But these are just some real quick rapid fire. Who would you say has had the most impact on you?
My aunt. My aunt, by hands down. She's an amazing woman. She has been there for me for my entire life. And she's somebody I look up to very much.
Awesome. Favorite time of day?
Oh man, I love first thing in the morning. I'm an early riser and it's quiet and nobody else is up and I have my coffee and I feel so good.
I am with you on that. I used to be not, and I am so a morning person now. All right. The worst food that you have ever put in your mouth?
Oh, tomatoes. I hate tomatoes.
Really? That shocks me. Okay.
I hate them.
Real physical books or Audible?
Oh, real physical. I love the how they feel, how they smell, turning a page. Oh, hands down. You should see my bookcase.
What is your book? What's the book that you're reading right now?
The Wheel of Time series, and I am obsessed.
What are you most grateful for right now?
Right now. Mm-hmm. I think the women that are in my life. I've struggled creating really strong, good relationships with other females. Mm-hmm. And the ones that are showing back up in my life in this big kind of change, I'm just so grateful. And I very much include you in that, Karen, because I'm just so grateful for you.
Thank you. You're going to make me cry. All right. Last question. What are you looking forward to tomorrow?
I am looking forward to, this sounds so silly, but I so much look forward to getting up in the morning and having that cup of coffee, connecting with God, doing a little reading, and playing with my cats.
That's perfect. Like, to me, that sounds like the not the cat thing because I'm allergic to cats, but the getting up early, that's perfect. That's perfect for me. All right. So tell everybody where they can find you. Like, if they can find you on social, where are you at here in Morehead City? What's the name of your facility? All of the things.
All right. So the name of my company is Elite Rehab and Performance. I am located on Highway 24, just between Walmart and Brandywine. It's in that old car wash. They turned those into some office buildings. So I'm Unit 4 there. You can find me on social media, Elite Rehab MHC on Instagram and Facebook. And my website is EliteRehabAndPerformance.com. Right now, I don't have a phone number yet. I'm getting that this week. So the best way to reach me would be via email. And I'm not officially open yet, still working on the space a little bit, but I anticipate being open by the end of the month. I am scheduling appointments though now. So.
Awesome. Awesome. Yay.
I'm so excited.
And we will put all of that in the show notes. We'll put her email address and her Instagram handle and all of that. That way you can reach out to her for questions, for appointments, for all the things.
Anything.
All the things. All the things. Well, again, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for starting our season off right.
Thank you for having me. I enjoyed this so much, Karen.
I appreciate you.
I appreciate you too.